Well, thank you, Brother David, for those words of exhortation. You have your study notes for our message that I had planned to preach this morning from the book of Hebrews, as we continue through that, 8th chapter of Hebrews. But that's the message I prepared for this week. But the Lord has impressed on me, and he's even used Brother David here this morning to go a different route. You turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. As Brother David has said and pointed out to us, our country is going in a very wicked way. I have tried and to stay out of political issues, not use the pulpit as a political podium, except when it deals with two critically important issues. And these are biblical issues, as Brother David has already pointed out to us. And these issues are the issues of abortion and homosexuality. They are biblical issues. And as God-fearing people, Bible-believing people, we have a responsibility to declare to the world what the Bible says, whether it is believed or not, whether they are in agreement with us, or whatever opposition or persecution comes to us. In the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, God describes and gives his complaint and charges against the nation of Israel. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all the 22nd chapter. It's a long list of prosecutional charges against Israel. But I will begin at verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, that's what God's message is, the word of the Lord. It is God's, thank you, brother, that's all right. It is God's message to us. Thank you. Thank you, brother. It is God's message for God's people, the word of the Lord. Indeed, we are the primary objects of that word, but we are the secondary object to the word. And when I say secondary, it is to the whole world. And God's people have a responsibility to witness and tell the world what God's word says. Brother David mentioned about preaching the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We certainly need to have the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, being preached to the world that we live in. And thank the Lord that there is the good news that Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of his people, and that every one of those that were given to Christ before the foundation of the world, every one of them will be brought to the knowledge of Christ and enjoy eternal life in glory, and all of their sins been washed away by the blood of Christ. That's a wonderful, glorious truth. And that's truth that I would love to be talking to you about this morning. I would rather be preaching things that I know that you want to hear and believe. And I no doubt of what I almost have to say to you this morning that you are in agreement with. But I want to encourage you to take a stand for moral, biblical issues. And so the word of the Lord came unto me saying, said a man, say unto her, as unto Jerusalem, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. A conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of her. Now, I shun away from all of these so-called conspiracy theories unless I have substantial evidence that indeed there are conspiracies. And I will tell you there are many conspiracies going on. The wicked are always scheming. Satan is always plotting against God and against his people. and there are many conspiracies. Now, thank the Lord God rules in the armies of heaven, among the heavens and the earth, and none can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness. Our confidence and our hope and our safety and our defense is in the Lord, not in the might of men, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God's people trust in the defense of Jesus Christ against for his people. Now you say, well, that doesn't mean that we all, why is it then that we sometimes have persecution and God's people being killed? Well, that's for by divine suffering and for a divine purpose. God is pleased at times to allow his people, as he did Stephen and others, to be put to death as a witness against the world. And so it is ongoing. There are conspiracies. And here it is, talks about the conspiracies among the prophets. Well, what a terrible condition that would be in and is when it is that there is a conspiracy against those who should be preaching the truth of God. Now, this past week, the Southern Baptist Convention had their national convention meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was a disgrace what the Southern Baptist Convention agreed to. First of all, they took a vote and voted against putting him as president, a conservative man, but rather they elected a man that was, they called, a moderate. Well, a moderate, we would call him very much so a liberal. He's a man that has openly endorsed the CRT. You know what the CRT is, the crucial racial theory, you know, and many other things that he has openly endorsed. Southern Baptist Convention put that man in as their president. Also, they took a stand endorsing the CRT program. Now, this did not come to a head suddenly. There has been a conspiracy to bring this up, and it has been ongoing in the Southern Baptist Convention, which began years ago. They're denying the infallibility and inerrancy of the Word of God. Now, I realize that in the Southern Baptist Convention that there are some God-fearing people. I'm talking about the ruling parties or the authorities or the political people who are ruling in the Southern Baptist Convention. The days gone past, there were times when the Southern Baptists stood for the truth of God. Fact of the matter, a lot of times when people ask me, well, what do you Primitive Baptists believe? I will say to them, we preach and teach what Southern Baptists used to teach and preach. And that is true. There was a time when Southern Baptists believed many of the very same truths that you and I would stand for and you and I believe. But there is a conspiracy amidst. This conspiracy, my friend, has its origin in hell itself. And that conspiracy is a conspiracy both of political and religious people to conspire against God and against his people and to bring about the destruction of our nation for the very express purpose that it might destroy Christianity. Now, I could go on and read here. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, raving the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken treasure with precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Now, that's a very critical, important issue. The Bible talks about woe unto them when they speak and call good evil and evil good. That's recorded in the book of Isaiah. That's the days in which you and I are living in right now here in America, so-called Christian America. We're living in the very days when the news media, when the politicians are calling evil good and good evil. That's the conspiracy that's going on. They do not make any distinction between that which is holy and that which is profane, because it's everybody doing whatever you think is right. And there are no moral standards in our nation today. They make no difference between that which is holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. The moral standard of America today, for the most part, is totally unclean. Immorality is rampant in every area of our nation, and it is now being taught in our very elemental kindergarten schools here in America. Teaching your children in public schools, in the grade school, in the kindergarten, that homosexuality, same-sex marriage, is common and is to be accepted and is the norm. Make no difference between the clean and the unclean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, who shed blood and destroy souls to get dishonest gain. That's the politicians. Her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar. What that means is that here is a wall that has been plastered over with that which will not stand the weather and the years of time. It's untempered mortar. And seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. We are living in a time when there are ministers and preachers in most of the pulpits, a lot of pulpits across America, which will say, God condones or God approves of this lifestyle. It's all right, same-sex marriage. It's all right for you to do this kind of lifestyle. God does not condone that, my friend. It's contrary to the Word of God. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now here's what the Lord says in verse 30, and here's my text for today. I sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge. God is always using individuals to take a stand. Now, I read a lot of news. I try to evaluate what I'm reading and look at it from biblical perspectives. And I try to stay back out of political issues. I believe that to the politicians and everything else. Whatever it is, they're going to make a mess out of it. I don't listen to much news. I read sometimes some of the from certain news sources, which I have some confidence in. I read that somewhat. For the most part, I try to stay out of political issues. And I'm not getting in political issues today, except the politicians are now getting into religious issues. They're wanting to destroy the moral standard that's set forth in the Word of God. It's time for God's people to take a stand. I'm much concerned that we don't have men who are willing to take a stand. Now, I do hear, glad to hear this, and good for it, that there is some women who are speaking out against the CRT. But where are the voices of the men? Now, I did read about one particular school teacher, a man who took a stand against that program, and he was fired, lost his job. But the court made the board of education to take him back. And this past week I was down in Jackson, Mississippi, and a member of the church there was talking to him. He just lost his job, and he had been at this job for several years and got several raises. He lost his job because he wouldn't take his Bible off of his desk. Now, there was a time in America when employers encouraged Christianity among their employees, and they encouraged their employees to go to church. I used to work for IBM when I was in college up in Endicott, New York, and they used to tell stories about Mr. Watson. Mr. Watson was the founder of what's now IBM. Mr. Watson was a very devout religious man. I believe he was a Presbyterian or Methodist. I'm not real sure, but I know he wasn't a Baptist, but he was a very devout Christian man. And Mr. Watson would not allow anyone to work for him who was known to be an alcoholic or who was even seen in the vicinity of a liquor store. He would not allow anyone to work for him who was having moral problems or marital problems. He would not let anyone work for him who had a bad reputation in the community. He held to a religious standard among his employees. He didn't try to make them to be religious, but he held to a standard. J.C. Penney the very same way, and other great men who have established big companies in America that are now prospering. Of course, now, you know, they've all been taken over by the ungodly society that we live in, and you cannot talk about Christ, you can't talk about God, or you can't talk about the Bible in the public setting. That's what the world wants you to do. You can talk about it in your church, but don't go outside of church and talk about it. That's what God called us to do, to tell the world. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You are like a city that's set on a hill whose light cannot be hid. We are to give this world a standard, whether they believe it or not and live by it or not. We are to declare what that standard is. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a tragic declaration and condemnation here against Israel. Israel is living an ungodly lifestyle, and politicians and pastors, preachers, are ruining the society that they're living in. And God says, I look for a man to take a stand against these things, and I found none. What about America today? What about Mississippi? What about Lowndes County? What about your community where you live in? What about where you work? Is there anyone there that's taking a stand for what's right? Well, you say, I might lose my job, or I might lose some friends. My friend, which one would you rather have? The friendship of the world or the friendship of God Almighty? The Bible says the friendship of the world is enemy of God against God. Now, I gave out to put in our church several years ago this booklet here. It's Barriers to Sodomy. And in this booklet, there are several things that speak about barriers to sodomy. If you don't have one, I have a couple left. I think it is now out of print. The man who wrote this he put his name here, but that is a fictitious name, because he needed to protect his true identity for his family's sake. In writing the book, in the introduction, he says, 2 years ago, I had a grandson. A year ago, my son-in-law and daughter sat down in the living room and asked me if I would give them any biblical instruction or direction that would help them keep their son from growing up to be a homosexual. And so he lists the issues here. And they are very good, and I believe that they are very important. First of all, he says that there needs to be a biblical authority in the home. That means to me that fathers need to be fathers. Husbands need to be husbands. The biblical kind of a husband and the biblical kind of a father. That's where we start at. That's the problem with our society. We are losing our homes. We have more, listen, according to what the authorities say, we have more single-parent families in America today than we have families with two parents in there. What's that tell you? That tells you that the majority of the homes in America today are dysfunctional. Now, I realize that in many of those cases that there is a spouse there who would not like to have that situation, who would love to have the spouse, other spouse back. So I'm not putting the blame on the fault on the person who is maintaining that home and that family, but I will tell you, it indicates that we have a bad situation in our society today when we don't have men who will be fathers and husbands in the homes like God tells them to be. One man said, someone has said, is everybody wants to be fathers, or everybody wants to have children, except they don't want to be fathers. And that's what's going on in our society. Biblical authority in the home, biblical distinction between the sexes. Now, this transgenderationism, the ungodly thing that's going on in our society. I have a paper here, The Man Who Invented Gay Rights. It goes back talking about what happened under the Obama administration. But under the Obama administration, Mr. Biden himself says gay marriage is inevitable. Well, yet we have that man was, whether you want to say honestly or what, I'm not getting into that issue, but that man was elected to be president of our country. That's the kind of man, he should not even be holding an office in our nation today, but now he's the president of our nation. Now, I know I shouldn't bring this up, but I have to tell you that one of the things that really got me upset here, and I don't mean to say I'm upset, that's not the reason I'm preaching to you, it's because it's just coming more to your face. An article that I found on my internet Friday night, the Biden administration, excuse my language here, but I'm quoting the headline. The Biden administration says to hell with girls' sports and sues West Virginia to force the state to allow transgender players. Now, of course, when it came to my headline, when I saw the headline, sues West Virginia, being my home state, I read this more in detail. The article says, President Joe Biden's assault on women's sports took a huge leap forward this week. On Thursday, Biden's Department of Justice, not just the president, but the whole Department of Justice, filed a court document contesting a law in West Virginia. And I believe we have a very similar law in Mississippi that I'm reading here about. And if it's true, Mississippi is going to have to deal with this issue also. Contesting a law that West Virginia that bans male athletes who identify as females from competing in women's and girls' sports. Now, you think what a terrible country condition we're living in society when men insist that they are going to be part of the women's crowd and they are going to compete with them in their sports activity. Now, when I was a boy a few years ago, the last thing in the world that us boys wanted to do was to go play with the girls. And if you went and played with the girls, you know what they called you. You didn't want to be called what they would call you if you went and wanted to go play with the girls. Well, that's the same situation that they're doing today. And the reason why they want to play with the girls is because they are homosexuals. That's the reason why. And our government is endorsing it and forcing the law down your throat that you are going to have to accept this in our society. It also involves the use of restrooms, and it also involves the use of the showers and everything else. The DOJ claims the law violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. Well, I don't care what amendment and what Constitution says. I know what God's Word says, and that's what we are to go by. Now, the Constitution is supposed to be based upon what the Bible says, and we govern the Constitution, but what does the Bible say? The fact of the matter is, the Supreme Court of our nation has the Ten Commandments written in stone over top of it, which says, thou shalt not commit adultery. This isn't the worst proposal put forward by the Biden administration this week. However, even more heinous than this attack on women's sports is Biden's attack on the innocence of children. Also on Thursday, the Biden administration submitted documents contesting legislation in Arkansas that bans the practice of gender-affirming care. While the DOJ claims the Arkansas law is nothing more than a dangerous governmental intrusion that rejects the judgment of medical professional evidence-based treatment guidelines, The reality is that it is perhaps the only barrier keeping radical gender theorists from abusing and irreversibly mutilating children below the age of consent. Now, what that law does in Arkansas, it prevents and stops doctors from treating a child 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age who says, I want to change my sex. That child has not the wisdom, nor the knowledge, nor the discernment to be able to determine to do that. And fact of the matter is, you can't be 90 old enough and wise enough ever to do it. It's a violation of the Word of God. God gave you your sex, and to do otherwise is to violate the very Word of God. God created you the way you are. Male and female created He them. So it's not just West Virginia, it is Arkansas also. Now, I am against science. Dr. Fauci says, if you're against me, you're against science. I am against false science. I am against the science that says that this world came into existence by some type of creation or some type of evolutionary process. I believe the Bible. I believe that this world came into existence in 6 days by the power and the working of God Almighty, and that He created everything in such a way that He saw it and He was pleased with it. I am against any science that's contrary to that. I am against science that tells people that it's all right to commit abortions. I believe that God gave life to that infant there in the womb, and I believe that it is the responsibility of every man, woman, and all governments to protect the innocent life of that baby in the mother's womb. The most heinous crime that anyone could ever commit is to kill the baby that's in the womb of its mother. And yet doctors are doing it, and our government is supporting it, and they're going to take your tax money to finance it. We need to have some men somewhere to stand up and say, we are not going to allow that to happen. How to stop, prevent your child from becoming homosexual. Biblical distinction between the sexes. Now I'm going to get very personal. Biblical distinction between the sexes is to be maintained not only on in the bathrooms, not only in marriage, but it is to be maintained in your dress, in your appearance. The Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Because why does it say that? Well, you say, well, that's just that one particular issue. Well, let me tell you what's behind that issue. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the order relationship of man and wife. And he speaks about the fact that women are to wear a head covering in the assembly. Now, there was a time in our society when a woman would never go to church without having a hat on. And there are some church religious orders today that still preserve that and keep that in force. That's a biblical principle. And I appreciate you ladies here in the church that you follow that biblical principle. But the point is, in 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about the relationship of male and female. And he goes on to say in that chapter, there is not only that, but it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, that's not just about the long hair. It's a shame for a man to wear a dress. It's a shame for a man to dress like a woman in any way, in any manner. I will also say the opposite is true. It's a shame for a woman to dress like a man. Woo! Thank you, Brother David. I appreciate that. Amen. We are destroying, we are playing the game that the society, that our politicians and the humanists and socialists want us to play. We're playing that game, friends, when we act like, talk like, dress like There is no distinction between the sexes. This past yesterday evening, I won't speak about the person who it was, but I will just say it was a person that I know was reared in a God-fearing home, a person that I know that was reared in a church that taught biblical principles, but this woman was dressed in totally immodest dress and short shorts, which only would be appropriate, I would say, in the bedroom. But they have no reservation. I can understand to some degree how a person who doesn't know anything about the Bible, in the most primitive societies, that a person would dress in a way that does not reveal their bodies. But I cannot understand how in the world, in so-called Christian America, that we have come to the place where nudity is admired. And the more you can undress, the more you are approved of. Brother Jeff Pollard has written a book, and I've made that available to you here too. I hope you will read it, on modesty. You see, he begins and takes up the issue of modest dress and talks about it being modest, that there was a time in America when men and women, even at the beach, would dress modestly. And now, they want to dress immodestly, even in the church building. Where do we draw a line? Where is the men that will stand up and say to their wives, that's not proper dress? That will say to their children, that's not proper dress? That will say that we are going to maintain a standard regardless of what the rest of society does? Now, I know you men here have done that in your families. I'm not at you. But what I'm trying to say is to encourage you and tell you that it's our responsibility as husbands and fathers to tell the world, it's not going to be that way in my home. It's not just good enough to have rules, fathers. It's also important that you be the kind of pattern. We all be the kind of pattern that live the kind of life that our children admire. Brother Roger, would you hand me that book right here, that Bible right there, please? Thank you, brother. Please forgive me if this is offensive to you that I do this. This is a card, Father's Day card, that I carry with me in my Bible. It came from my daughter Beth. I got this card, and she dates it June 2015. Those of you who know about Beth, you know that she passed away. The Lord took her home in November of 2015. So this is the Father's Day card. She gave me one every year, but this one is especially precious to me. I'm not worthy of what she says in this card, but I would like to think that every father, all of you men, would get a card like this card. There's a place in the heart God made just for the special kind of love a father knows how to give. She wrote in her own handwriting, "I am so thankful the Lord blessed me to have a loving, protective, providing father who models the love of my heavenly father. Your guidance and example have had ever father-reaching benefits for my children. I praise God that we all have been blessed to watch your God-honoring life, putting the truth you preach into daily action." The printed message says, "Dad, you mean so much to our family." She underlined the word family. "You've touched our lives, warmed our hearts, and in so many meaningful ways, you've been thoughtful, generous, accepting, kind, loving. And today seems like a perfect day to tell you how much you're loved. Signed, I love you very much, Beth." I'm not worthy, nor am I that kind of father, but I appreciate her compliments and her remarks. But what this message, this card says to me from time to time is, where am I today? And I know my failures, and I know my shortcomings. And I know that even in rearing that girl, I was not a perfect father. I'm human. I make mistakes. We all do. But by God's grace and God's mercy, God blessed this girl to appreciate what her daddy was trying to teach her. We cannot be perfect fathers. We cannot be perfect husbands. But what we can do is to maintain some standards that says to our family, that says to our wives, that says to our children, we believe God, and we are going to stand by thus saith the word of God. Barriers against homosexuality, biblical distinction between the sexes, biblical dress, biblical hairstyles, biblical discipline, a biblical view of God and sin, a biblical work ethic. Signs all over America today begging people to come to work, giving them special bonuses if they'll just come to work. If you don't know how to work, don't know how to do the job, we will teach you and pay you while we're training. But they can't, the employers can't get them to come to work. Why? Because our so-called great society, politicians, are paying people to stay home. Peer influences and separation from sinners. What's that mean? That means I don't take my family to hell holes. I don't take my family where ungodliness is in parade. We used to live in the Caribbean. We used to go down to the beach. We liked going to the beach. But where we went to the beach, it was a very private place where we went to the beach. And if my wife and I ever go walking on a beach anywhere, it is a very private place. And we walk wearing modest clothes. And I don't take my family, and I don't go myself into casinos. I don't go into places where there's partying going on. I have tried to be the kind of father, and I said, I'm not perfect at it. I've failed in many different ways. I know that. And you could say, well, what about this? You're right. But I'm telling you, there's a standard God puts forth in His Word for men to be the husband and fathers in their homes, and in their churches and in their society that we are to be. But we are failing. Because we are not having an impact on the society that we live in. Now, I've read to you from the Old Testament. I could read a lot of scripture to you from the Old Testament about this matter of immorality. Brother David read from Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to read from there. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read to you what the Apostle Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye. Watch. That means to be on guard, to be aware of dangers, evils, to watch. What are we watching? What are we guarding against today as men? Where are we allowing ourselves to go in our minds, pornography? Where are we allowing ourselves to go with our eyes? Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Every church, every God-fearing church, every Bible-believing church needs men who will stand for the truth of God. I've said repeatedly, and I will continue to say, no church is any stronger than what the men of the church is. Because the responsibility of holding the line of what's been preached in the pulpit comes to the men of the church. And you are responsible to measure my ministry and what I preach by thus saith the word of God. Because if I'm not preaching the truth of God, you need to get another preacher who will preach the truth of God to your family. But if I am preaching the truth of God, then you as a husband, as a father, you need to set the pattern in your home whereby the truth of God is supported and endorsed. And we need as fathers to put the Lord first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and make church and God's word and Jesus Christ to be important in our lives and not secondary. We have played games too long in America, and we're reaping the whirlwind. And we are wringing our hands and we are accusing the politicians of all the bad stuff that they're doing. How did they get in the office? Well, they got voted in. But why did we not take a stand prior, years ago, when all of this stuff was being conspired and the cannibal was getting its nose in the tent? It's because the politicians knew the game to play. They paid money in welfare programs. And nobody wants to sacrifice their jobs because they might take a stand for God. Stand fast in the faith. Quick. You like men. That means in the English, Greek word quit there, English word act like men. Be strong. Be strong. That doesn't mean to be mean. That doesn't mean to be cruel. But it means to be strong in love, in kindness, in grace, but be firm. be firm, beyond compromising. All the precious men, I'm speaking to you here today. I appreciate you, love you, appreciate your families. But I am aware that we all are under the pressure of society to conform and not make any noise. The book of Romans, Paul says in second chapter, I'm reading from Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God should judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's not saying the gospel is the standard, although that is a standard. But rather, he said, that's what I've preached in my gospel, the judgment of God. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts according to my gospel. Now, one thing I cannot of me, the crime was not stealing and thievery. The crime was sodomy. And that's the crime that God destroyed Sodom for. And Lot was living there, and he vexed his righteous soul, seeing the wickedness that's going on. I understand. I don't agree with Lot living there, but I understand his problem. Vexing his righteous soul. I hope it vexes your righteous soul. And I hope that you're the kind of person that you're going to say, I want to take a stand for what's right, by God's grace, for what's true, and that we as a church take a stand for what's right, and not just the preacher. Our Father, we come to you here this morning hour. Lord, these are things that are unpleasant to talk about. We are regretful that we have to talk about a sin that's of such magnitude and so terrible that you call it an abomination. And you've judged nations because of it. And Lord, our nation here, we are worthy of your judgment because of our abortions, because of our immorality and sodomy. We're worthy of your judgment. We're guilty as a nation. Our leaders, our father, our politicians and ministers have conspired against your word. And Lord, they are deceiving the nation that we live in. Oh Lord, I pray for your mercy upon us. I pray that you will turn this nation, that there will be a repentance, a revival, whereby that men of God and God's men in their homes will take a stand and say, we're not going to go that way. May you be pleased, Lord, to lead us as a church, as individuals, in our daily lives, that we would hold up a standard that manifests that we believe God and we believe His Word. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen.